but we never want to like stray from the personal touch. And so I think that sets us apart.
Yeah. You're not going to get handed off. Like if you start working with me, you're not going to get handed off to somebody
yeah.
that you don't know.
Off Gassing, a scuba podcast with host Nick Hogle. It can be a daunting task to decide where to go on your next diving adventure, especially when it comes to Latin America. I was excited to sit down and chat with Melanie and Kathleen, co-founders of Dive the Americas, a boutique travel company offering a more personalized diving adventure. Different destinations throughout the Americas, liveaboards, building friendships, custom diving trips, the Galapagos, the Cocos, and much more. Please enjoy. So good morning to you two. How is everybody doing this morning? 9 a.m. where you are at in Costa Rica, correct?
Yep, 9 a.m. here. A lot earlier than Malaysia.
Yeah. It's definitely a little bit late. So I am here with Dive the Americas, and I was wondering if you two could introduce yourselves. Sorry.
Well, my name is Kathleen, and I'm here with my co-founder, Melanie.
Hi.
And we are co-founders of Dive the Americas. We're a boutique travel company that specializes in ocean travel throughout all of the Americas, mostly specializing in Latin America, so Central and South America. But we do it all on this side of the world.
Awesome. Well, I cannot wait to hear more about it. And to be honest, actually, it's a destination that I've wanted to explore more. So I'm really excited to hear about some of the places that you guys go to. It's funny because I used to tell people, they'd be like, oh, where are you from? And I'd be like, oh, from America. And I remember at one point someone was like, well, America is a pretty big place. You know, you have South America, Central, North, you know, and I was like, oh, that's actually a very, very valid point. So yeah. It is a very big place, and I'm really excited to hear about it. But my first question I always ask is, tell me about how and why you ended up becoming scuba certified. Tell me about that first experience. So whoever wants to go first, but I love hearing about that first breath underwater, kind of what led up to that moment. Was it magical? Was it overcoming fear? Just tell me all about it. So anybody that wants to go first, it's all good.
Yeah, so I'll start with this one because I got scuba certified first. So it was actually during the pandemic. I've always wanted to be scuba certified. It was something I always wanted to do. And during the pandemic, Costa Rica, I was living here in Costa Rica, and there was really nothing going on, nothing to do. And so I was like, well, this is the perfect time to go get scuba certified. So I did. I had a lot of kind of fear around it, but definitely, like you said, that first moment of taking that first breath underwater changed my life. Like I say that to everybody. And I immediately after I got certified, I called Kathleen and I was like, you need to get down here to the beach, come get certified. It's incredible. The experience was just awesome. I got certified at Isla del Caño, Caño Island in the south part of Costa Rica. And I mean, I just remember that first moment of getting out to the island, going underwater, and there was so much life. Like I had schools of, you know, hundreds of fish on my left side. I had a turtle on my right side. And that was just like the first like 10 seconds of being underwater. So it was pretty incredible. And basically that's where my passion for scuba diving was born. And I had already been a travel planner. I was working with a different agency. And then once I started scuba diving, that's where kind of the idea of Dive the Americas was born is, wow, we really love this. And we started traveling for diving and now we're here.
Yeah. Melanie had to, back to my first time diving, yeah. Melanie, and she didn't even wait until she was done with the certification. She was like, you have to come. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. Yeah. I was way too scared. I never like been really... I grew up in North Carolina on the coast. So I'd always like loved the ocean, but I loved like being on top. I was never like thinking that I wanted to scuba dive. It was never like, never something I had envisioned myself doing. And she really, it took her a little while to convince me to finally get scuba certified. And there was like, because it was COVID, there was like a promo. And I was like, fine, I'll come and do this. I'm really scared. I'm just like a little more anxious of a person overall. So I was a little anxious going into it. And then I also got certified at Isla Caño, same place with the same dive shop as Mel. And my first dive was incredible because it was in September of 2020, right in the middle of the northern whale migration coming down south. And Costa Rica is a really special place because the water here is really warm. The coasts are really protected. And so the whales come here to give birth. And so I'm underwater and I'm like all these sounds. And I was like looking at my dive instructor. I was like, what is that noise? And it was the whales like singing. And it was just the most incredibly magical thing. Yeah, I could have experienced, really set the bar high for my scuba diving career.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that was like maybe a month after Mel got certified. And yeah, it was since then, it is something that changed my life, changed our lives.
Oh, awesome. Because,
you know, now here we are with in scuba diving.
Yeah, yeah.
That was amazing.
No, for sure. That is a pretty high bar for sure. Yeah, hopefully you've had something to kind of been better than that. But yeah, that would be a hard one to beat.
More humbling experiences. Yeah, to bring us back to earth. Like, okay, like it's not always going to be like rainbows and butterflies.
Yeah.
But some really incredible moments too. I would say more so than not.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome. So how did you two meet?
We met working at the travel agency. So we both, Mel started a little bit before I did at this previous travel agency that sold trips here in Costa Rica. Yeah. So we met as sales representatives there.
Okay. So I'm actually originally from Costa Rica. I was born and raised here. And my dad's from Florida, so I spent some time in Florida as well. And then I moved back. I graduated with a degree in tourism, so I always knew that that's what I wanted to do. I moved back here to Costa Rica, worked at some hotels, and then I started working at this travel agency. That's where we met. And then in 2022, last year, we launched our business.
Yeah.
Cool. And tell me about like how it all came about. Was it just, you know, some drinks one night and like, hey, this is something that we wanted to do? Was it something that has always been in the back of your mind? Tell me all about kind of how it formulated and getting it all going.
It's funny. We were just talking about it this morning. Melanie had always anticipated being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So for me, it was kind of like a natural step because we were working at a travel agency. I loved travel planning. I had started selling other countries outside of Costa Rica. And I just kept telling Kathleen, like, let's go to here and let's go diving. And we started going on these dive trips. And we found that there wasn't anybody out there that we could find that could do the travel piece and the diving piece. So we kind of ran into some issues and we were like, well, like, let's find out more. We started doing our own research and finding out, you know, who the dive shops are, who's doing what, and started travel planning for ourselves. And then that's basically where the idea of Dive the Americas came from, was we wanted to merge those two things, diving and travel planning. And yeah, Kathleen never saw herself, I think, being a business owner. So it was probably my fault. I was like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I know I want to have my own business. And then I pulled her over.
Yeah. Not me. Never anticipated that. I studied biology. Like I had always like envisioned like a career in the medical field growing up. And then I came to Costa Rica in 2015 to finish my biology degree, just on a random study abroad program. And then I graduated and I was like, I'll stay here for a year. And I worked a little bit in biology And then I just like kept saying like, I'll stay here for another year. And like, it just kept going. And, you know, I started working in tourism. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with Costa Rica. I fell in love with traveling. And then I fell in love with scuba diving. I mean, it wasn't like you had to convince me. It kind of all just like came together, but it's really funny to like think back on, because I'm like, I never, like 10 years ago, like 20-year-old Kathleen never ever would have anticipated to be living in a foreign country and like running a business beside my best friend and like incredible business partner. Yeah, it's really cool. It's really fun.
Were there nerves initially going into it, because it's like, okay, now I'm about to create something, and then getting past those nerves? It must have been a really good feeling when that first client booked or that first trip was successful. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, for us, because we're relatively newer divers, we had a lot of nerves around like, we're starting a scuba diving company and we've only been diving for, you know, a couple years.
Yeah.
So that I think is where most of my nerves were. But we started talking to people of all levels of diving, and we know Latin America like the back of our hands. Like we live here, we travel it constantly. So we had, I think for me, that confidence of like, I know this place and I can help you. And I have the contacts that know like the diving better than anybody else. So that for me was really helpful, but definitely like going off on our own was a huge step. And I'm so grateful for everybody that has booked trips with me for the last like 10 years, because so many people trusted us with their trips and have become our friends, really. Like so many of our clients are our friends, people we text all the time. Like we're having beers with some clients tomorrow. So here in Costa Rica. Yeah, it's just been a really It's been wild.
It is. Imposter syndrome is definitely a real thing, but I think it's been really cool to overcome that. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, it's like, that's what's been the driving force forward. Cause it's like, I see all these other people doing all these cool things. And it's like, well, why can't I do that? Like everybody can do it, but it definitely took a little while to like, for me at least, to convince myself I can do this. And I'm so glad that we've had each other, because sometimes like you're sitting there and you're like, I can never do this alone. I talked to like some of our friends who are entrepreneurs who run businesses by themselves. And they're always like, man, I wish I had like a business partner to go through these challenges, like these highs and lows. And so I think that has been crucial for our success as well.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Especially to share the highs and then also to have somebody share the lows, you know. So it's kind of like not like you're out there by yourself, but it's that's got to be really, really an amazing thing to be able to share all of those experiences, almost like a dive, you know, like your dive buddy.
Totally. Exactly like a dive.
So tell me, I'm trying to think of where to start. And you can, I mean, if you have a great place to start, let me know. But I was going to say, maybe tell me like what's a typical day. Like I just booked, but obviously you have a few different destinations, but how would I go about booking? And then how would I choose a destination? Or is it something that you're saying, hey, what are you looking for? Let us cater a trip to, let us suggest something. Like, how does that all go? How do you go into it?
So right now we do three things. Basically we do custom trips. So we have people that reach out to us and say like, I want to dive in a specific place, or maybe they don't even know. And then we go through some questions like, okay, who's coming on the trip? When are you thinking of traveling? What kind of trips do you like? Like, what's your travel style? So we have questions that we ask to get to know you, and we're able to kind of make suggestions that way. So we can say like, hey, in September and October, in Costa Rica, it's whale season. So this is a really good time to come. Or in Mexico, you know, there's the whale sharks. So there's different things that we can kind of suggest for you. If you already know where you want to go, that's easier for us to kind of put together an itinerary. But like I said, we're locally based, so we can give you local recommendations and we take care of everything from the moment you arrive to the moment you leave. So we have somebody pick you up at the airport. We do transportation, hotels, tours, dives, everything. And we can cater that to however much or however little that you want. Yeah. So that's one branch is like the custom trips. We also do liveaboards. So we do, you know, epic places like Galapagos and Cocos Island, and we can help set everything up for you before and after, which we found to be a little bit challenging sometimes, like when you don't know, you know, yeah. Is it worth it to stay a couple of days before? Is it worth it to stay a couple of days after? So we can kind of guide you through all of that. And then we also help people get certified. So this is a part of our business that I think is really developed, like as the business has grown, it's something that's grown a lot with us, is we have a lot of people that are interested in diving, but they have all these fears around it, or they don't feel like they can ask questions. So we have a service where we like can consult with you and we can give you our recommendations of where to get certified, who to get certified with, basically walk you through what that is like and really open the doors for everybody, because we think scuba diving is for everybody. So we want to get, you know, more people underwater and more people to love the ocean and ultimately help protect it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. What's the most common question that you get from people that are nervous about it, or like, hey, I want to do this, but I'm not sure. What are the common things that you see there?
A lot of people ask, like, well, what about the sharks? They're like, that's the best part.
No, for sure, for sure.
The more sharks, the better. I would say a lot of it is kind of like the logistics of everything, how it works, like how you can make it work from getting the ball rolling from even before your trip. So like if you're coming on a trip and you have a week, like we always try to get people to do all of the theory online before, you know, from home, so they don't waste so much time doing it here, you know, when they're on like vacation. Yeah, the how to make it work on a trip, essentially. And, you know, people are scared of, I mean, everything. Like it's and so a lot of it is just like making people feel comfortable. You know, a lot of people don't know what questions to ask. So we kind of like guide them and just show them like what it would look like from day one to day four of your open water certification. Mm-hmm. So just like creating an environment where they feel comfortable to ask whatever question they want, the inclusivity aspect of it as well, I think.
That is funny though. The shark thing is definitely people always are like, oh, and to be honest, I was very much the same way. So the first time I went diving was backpacking through Thailand, and you know, I bought a little cheap snorkel kit, and I remember I walked into the dive shop and, you know, I was like, oh, this seems kind of cool. And they're like, yeah, we could do a Discover scuba dive. He's like, we'll go out there and we'll see Nemo and all his friends. We'll see the sharks. And when he said sharks, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, that's when it, you know, got explained to me that it's just kind of, what is the story goes, like the fear of sharks basically came from Jaws, like Hollywood. And then that, everybody was just terrified of sharks. Yeah. So it's that is funny though, that is probably like the number one fear for non scuba divers getting into it.
I remember I was snorkeling in Belize years ago, and the barrier reef there is beautiful, and I wasn't dive certified, nor had thought about getting dive certified, because I was like a little hesitant to even get in the water in Belize. Yeah. And we're like snorkeling way over like these nurse sharks that were at the bottom of the ocean. And I was like, oh my, I just remember I was freaking out, and I was like, oh my God, there's sharks there. Everybody's so calm. Like what, like, why is everybody so calm? There's sharks down there. And you know, the guide's like, they're nurse sharks. They don't do anything. Like they don't care about you. So it's just crazy to think like that versus now, like just swimming amidst like 200 hammerheads, you know, and close as humanly possible, respectively. it's funny to think of how different your view on things can change. You know, that's why it's so important for us to want to get people in the water. Mm-hmm. Because the more experiences you have like that, the more comfortable you feel and the more aware you become, and like knowing is power. The more people know, the more we hope that they'll want to understand how they can protect,
protect
the underwater world. Many people don't know about.
Yeah, I think it's incredible like how many people don't know how much of the planet, you know, exists underwater. And so just being able to show them a little bit, like whether it's because we have people that travel with us that don't dive and they just snorkel. And so we always try to encourage them, like teach them a little bit every time and like, hey, let's get in the water. Let's try this. Let's try that. And just little by little, hopefully they'll get to the diving point. Yeah, it's just like you said, knowledge is power, and just showing them what's there and that there is this whole nother world that you can explore.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. And it is even for me sometimes too, like you'll, you know, I know how important the underwater world is. And, you know, it really goes as far as like, oh, like not getting that plastic bag when I go to the grocery store or something. And it really doesn't hit home until you're in the water and then you just see like a plastic bag floating by and you're like, man, yeah. I really could do something to help. And most people, they don't know about it until, you know, or they know about it, but it doesn't really hit home until they're actually in the water and then they could see something that really affects them. And sometimes that does take it to, it has to get to that point before there's change. But no, that's awesome. So you, there's a big conservation side to Dive the Americas.
Yeah. So part of what we do is we pre-vet all of the partners that we work with. So we ask questions like, what are you doing for sustainability? Are you, you know, do you have any certifications? So we ask all of those questions. We ask a lot of like health and safety questions as well, because Latin America, it's not as regulated as maybe some other parts of the world. So it's, you know, we always want to make sure that we're working with people that have insurance, for example, and that like have a medical plan. Like, what do you do if, you know, somebody needs attention? So we go through all of those things, but a big piece of that is sustainability. And we're always trying to find new ways to give back, to do beach cleanups, to do dive cleanups, things like that. Just something we try to incorporate into basically everything that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I was reading the comment section. Sometimes I just get lost in Facebook comments sometimes of like, it wasn't necessarily a trip, but it was a newer diver somewhere, and just the non-attention to from the dive guide made them feel just really unsafe. And I, you know, and I get that happens sometimes, but that's awesome that you're kind of vetting everything to make sure that things like that don't happen. And even in your on your website, I was reading about how, you know, you show up to the airport and you're waiting for your ride, and then nobody shows up. And I feel like it's happened to all of us. And you know, when you're, especially when you're traveling, like to the more remote places, because you're almost very vulnerable, because you're like, man, I don't speak the language. I don't know who to call. Am I just going to hop on this random taxi and get overcharged because of the way I look, with all my dive bags? Yeah. So that is awesome. And it's really cool to hear about a company that will take care of all that, but also let you know. And it's just the communication side of it is super huge, because we've all been on those trips like, yeah, just show up here. And then you show up there and you're like, where is everybody?
Yeah, exactly. This isn't what I signed up for.
That was a real story for us in Cancun. It was our first time going to Cozumel. And we showed up. Our flight came in super late. It was like 11 p.m. And we booked a transfer and nobody showed up. And so that's where we started saying, like, there's got to be a better way to do this. There has to be a trusted provider around here.
Yeah.
Like, this can't be it.
But so we take that like really, really seriously. You know, when we're like vetting these partners, be them like a transfer company or a dive shop, like we have a lot of questions that we ask them to make sure that these things don't happen. And we have a lot of like things in place before people's trips. You know, we always make sure we do like the whole itinerary review, like we're very hands-on on the back end. And, you know, we're really communicative with the clients when they're traveling to you, you know, like they're in an operations chat that both Melanie and I are in, where you have access to us 24/7. For the, 24/7, you know, for the entirety of your trip, you know, just in case like anything happens, or if you have questions, or like, I mean, mostly it's people being like, this is amazing. And like sending us pictures and stuff, you know, we've definitely had some hiccups, but thank God for the chats, because, you know, mm-hmm. the clients can just immediately contact us and then we can fix whatever issue has come up, because, you know, it's inevitable. It's like with travel, it's inevitable. But for us, it's like second nature. So, and we're lucky to speak the language, to speak Spanish. You know, we can talk to everybody across all of Latin America, and like making those relationships with all the partners that we have. Like, they know who we are. They know what our standards are. And so that translates to how they treat our clients too, which has turned out really great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. No, that really is. Just because, we've all, especially like, I love going to like really remote destinations, but sometimes it's like it's a double-edged sword. Cause it's like such a beautiful place, but I'm literally getting to this area where I don't know the language. I don't know anybody. I don't know who to call. So it's like that's amazing that you could just be like, okay, I don't know what to do. Let me just message somebody real quick.
Yeah, exactly. And we get so many questions, you know, everything from just like, can I drink the water here? Like, is it okay to have ice in my drink? So we're able to kind of walk through those things that you don't think to ask before you travel, you know? And like, once you're in the moment, it's like, hey, just shoot us a message. We'll text you right back. And we always love like getting pictures from our clients too. Like, you know, we just got one the other day with a client that was like, surrounded by all these monkeys and like, look at this amazing time I'm having. See all of that. But yeah, it's just nice to have somebody to be able to message that knows.
So I, just cause I want to know, and then I will ask what other places are really good or some highlights, but tell me, cause to be honest, one of the destinations that you said has been on my bucket list, and I'm sure plenty of people probably hit you up for this place, but Galapagos, tell me a little bit about, because you have to go, most of them are done by liveaboards, correctly? Or to really experience it, you have to go liveaboard.
Yeah.
But before then, you have to fly to where the liveaboards are going out of. And I don't even know the name of. So basically just tell me like if I was going to go on a Galapagos, and then what is the best time of year to go? Because I think I want to say it's like, is it this time of year, like December, January? Is that when all the big stuff comes? Are you tell me everything. Tell me about a Galapagos trip.
Galapagos is like, for me, Galapagos is my favorite dive spot that we've been. You fly to mainland Ecuador, so you could fly to Quito or Guayaquil. In our case, we flew to Quito. We actually spent like a week on the mainland before we flew out to the islands to board the liveaboard. Ecuador is a beautiful country, like underwater and above water. If you have the extra time to explore mainland Ecuador, absolutely make it work. But yeah, so you fly from the mainland out to the islands. The best way to see Galapagos is via liveaboard. You can do dives from the islands, like day trips, but like a 7-day liveaboard is worth your time and your money. The two islands, Darwin and Wolf, which have the most life and, you know, big life, they're like 17-ish hours from the main island that you fly onto.
Oh, wow.
So you definitely want to do it. Yeah, you the only way to get there is via liveaboard. I would say the best time with the most life is August, July, August, kind of November through November, December. It's a little bit colder, but with that comes the big whale sharks who are pregnant going, you know, moseying on through the huge walls of hammerheads. We went at the end of November of last year, and it was just at the end of whale shark season, I believe.
Yeah.
But we were lucky enough to see like 8 or 9 whale sharks in one day,
which was
like unheard of.
Yeah.
Even the guides were like, Holy shit. Wow. And on that dive, I was having trouble equalizing. So, and like diving Galapagos is definitely for advanced divers. I would recommend, you know, they recommend minimum 50 dives. I would even go as far to say like 70, minimum 75. Cause we had about 50 dives at the time when we went, and whew, it was challenging. Definitely came out on the other side feeling a lot more confident as divers, but the currents there are no joke. But you know, with the currents come all the big stuff. So it's definitely.
What were you, as far as exposure suit, was it like dry suit, 7 mil, Farmer John, 7.5 mil? Like what were you wearing? How cold was the water? Because I would think it's fairly cold that time of year, right?
So that's what was so interesting to me is you go on the liveaboard, you visit so many different islands, and the temperature really varies per island. So we were wearing a 7 mil for most of it.
Wetsuit.
I mean, just there was some, like there was one person on the liveaboard with a dry suit, but I don't think it's necessary. Like I was comfortable in my 7 mil the whole time. There was dives where I wish I had a little less, like it was a little warm. And then there was other dives that were very cold, and I had, you know, my like lava core underneath and a hood, and I was done at 20 minutes, but I was diving with Kathleen, who wanted to stay the full 50. So we did. That one was pretty cold, but I loved that it was so different at every island, and you saw something so different at every island.
Yeah.
Like Darwin and Wolf are pretty similar. It's a lot of big stuff like whale sharks and hammerheads and, you know, big sharks. But the smaller islands, like we did an iguana dive, that was really interesting and different. There's penguins in Galapagos. We saw mola molas. We saw birds underneath the water diving. Like it was just such a variety. And I don't think I've seen that anywhere else that we've dove, that kind of variety and just how different every island was and the wildlife that you see.
Man, you're making me want to go. Yeah, because it's been a bucket list destination for quite some time now, just because of everything that you've described, that you could see all of that in basically one day of diving. So when people do those trips, you were saying that you spent a week on the island. Is that something that you'll arrange too for guests to say, hey, you know, we can spend a week here. You could do 3 days of land excursions or you know, however many days, and then go off to the liveaboard. Everything is essentially like you can kind of cater. What are some things that you can do on land for like land excursions over there before you head out to the islands?
Yeah, the mainland to me, like the same for Kathleen, like, it was very surprising how incredible it was. Like I knew it was going to be nice, but I just didn't know exactly how nice. But we did a lot of hiking on the mainland. Yeah. There was this really beautiful hacienda that we always recommend because it's just the food was incredible. It was more of a quiet experience, but
in the middle of the Andes Mountains.
But the culture was so rich. The food was amazing. Like it just felt so authentic and real and fun. And there was a lot of stuff to do on site. But the inland part to me is something you shouldn't miss. Like if you have the time to put it in your schedule, definitely make some time, 3 or 4 days at least. And then the Galapagos, you can do either way. You can do it land-based. Like we said, liveaboard is ideal. But if there's somebody out there that doesn't like liveaboards, you can do land-based in Galapagos. Because we've had like families with young kids and stuff that have done it, and they're still able to get some great dives in, but the kids will have a lot of fun to do and they can see the tortoises and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like hiking, outdoorsy nature stuff. In Quito, in the city in Ecuador, there's some really great food. I went to some amazing restaurants there, did some food tours, things like that, more like city type tours. But outside of that, it's definitely outdoorsy.
Yeah, Amazon rainforest. Oh, yeah. The rainforest. There's like cloud forest. There's so much culture too in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really underrated country.
Okay.
And I'm really glad we spent as much time there as we did. Because now we never shut up about it. So that's what happens. we go to places and we're like, oh man. And then like, you won't hear us shut up about it. It's been a year and a half and we're still talking about it. And we continue to talk about it.
Exactly. It's also really nice to use the US dollar. That was awesome too. So you don't even have to use currency.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's actually, it's good to know. I did not know that. So you're saying at least probably like a two week trip, or at least 10 days.
Yeah. If you have that luxury, absolutely.
Okay.
We can do a week. We can make it work. Ideally 10 days, even more ideally 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, for sure. That was one thing. I think that's even why it's kind of high up there, because I know when I was looking at like liveaboards a long time ago, I'm like, it has to be a minimum of 7 days, and then you have to spend time like flying in, because especially me, I'm not the guy that likes to fly in the night before, hop on the boat the next day. I just have way too much anxiety of like, is all my luggage going to arrive? Is everything going to be okay the night before? I'm like, I need to plan to get there at least like 1 to 2 days beforehand. So especially too, coming from where I'm coming from, I would need like a few days just to acclimate to the time zone, right? So it's like, and that's something I always suggest for people. It's like, hey, you know, try to give yourself a few days on the front end and even the back end when you get back, because like my girlfriend just flew to Texas, and I think it took her like 4 days before she was like feeling completely normal, you know? And I think this one just hit a little bit worse, because usually it takes me about like 3 days I'm solid. Like, I mean, I can manage after like a day or two, but like the first day I'm garbage. Don't even like talk to me. I'm just like, what is my body's like, what's going on with me? But that's why, especially if like I'm going to do a trip bucket list, like the Galapagos, like I need to be completely aware. Like, know what's going on. So tell me hopefully I just didn't take away the question of what is your favorite dive site, but tell me about some other sites that you will visit or like to go see in or that you suggest to people.
I mean, we do all of Latin America, so we do Mexico, Belize, Costa Rica, Panama, Colombia. I think for me, Colombia is really underrated as well. It's somewhere that I think people have a little bit of fear to travel to, but it's really booming in the last couple of years, and it's such a great place to go right now. It's affordable. The people are so warm and welcoming. The food is awesome. So that's definitely one that I think isn't on a lot of people's radar, and it should be. As far as my favorite dive trip, Cocos Island off of Costa Rica. I mean, that was just epic. Like the amount of sharks that we saw, the amount of life, it's just so beautiful, so unique. So yeah, it was probably the most comparable to Galapagos.
Oh, wow.
It's just such a trip.
Okay. And that's a liveaboard trip, correct? You have to go by liveaboard?
That's only liveaboard. Yeah. It's 36-hour trek to get out to the island.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. During the 36 hours, I was like, you will never catch me on this boat again. I'm never doing this. Because the seas are pretty rough during that season.
Yeah.
But like, you know, once I'm there, I'm like, oh, I could do it again. Worth it. Yeah. That's a 10-day liveaboard with, I would say, a day on both ends on the Costa Rica mainland.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So when they start trekking out there, they're not stopping. It's not like a leisure 36 hours. Nope. It's like, we're going for it.
Like eye on the prize, Cocos Island.
Yeah. They are scooting down there. It is. It's something.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
But it's worth it. Well worth it.
Cool. Yeah. I've actually never been on a liveaboard, and I keep telling myself like, oh, next year. So for somebody that is never been on a liveaboard, tell me some highlights, some good things why would you say you should like sell me on a liveaboard? I mean, you don't have to sell me on a liveaboard, because I know I'm gonna go at some point, but for somebody that has not been on a liveaboard, that's thinking about going on a liveaboard, tell me a little bit about why you would suggest a liveaboard. I think I've said liveaboard like 25 times in the last minute.
So you want to know about liveaboards. I think especially maybe for like, I'll say newer divers, but people maybe that don't have as many so many dives or don't dive super often. I think it's a really great opportunity to become like more confident in your diving, because like pretty much nowhere else other than a liveaboard is eat, sleep, dive, repeat.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that, you know, from a dive resort for sure, but you're surrounded by so many different divers in such different stages in their dive career. I think for me, I can say that that was one of my favorite things as a newer diver, going on the liveaboards, asking the older divers questions and how much has changed and like, what have they learned? What, you know, what's good, what's not? And just getting that experience from like day one on the liveaboard to day seven, like day seven, feeling so confident in yourself. I don't know. To me, that's like the best part of a liveaboard.
And just helping build that muscle memory of doing, you know, putting on your gear every day. Yeah. And you really get to know what you like and what you don't like. So, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So in the beginning, when you're diving, like, you don't know what equipment you like. You don't know like exactly what weights to use and this and that. And so just being able to have that, you know, 3-4 dives a day and in such an incredible supportive community, because we have really, I don't know if we've just been super lucky, but every liveaboard that we have been on, the group is so amazing, so helpful. There's no judgment. Everybody's, you know, just really, really helpful and nice. So it's good to be in that environment, especially when you're learning. And then of course, for people that are high level divers that have thousands of dives under their belt, like, it's just so much fun. Going and just eat, sleep, dive, talk diving. It's a great experience. Yeah.
Awesome.
So if you're not convinced on liveaboards, you should be.
No, it's something. I don't know why it has taken me this long to go on a liveaboard. And it's something that I definitely know that I have needed to do. It just hasn't happened yet. What are some, like, do people ever, when you're booking a liveaboard for somebody, do they have misconceptions, or what are common questions that pop up, you know, like what to bring? Because it is for somebody that's never been, because I've never even, to be honest, I've never even been on a cruise before. So I feel like some people, that's maybe like a prep for a liveaboard, because you're living on a boat for, you know, however many days. But what are some questions that I'm trying to think of one right now, and usually I'll forget until day of, kind of like you're saying, and then I'll be like, oh, okay, let me text them real quick. Message them. But what are some common questions that you get run into?
I think it's usually about the packing list. Like, what do I pack? And little things like, I didn't know the first time we went, I don't think we took like a little clothesline. That is so helpful, just to hang up your like bathing suit in between dives and dive days.
Yeah.
Like, that to me was a game changer. But mostly just, like how to pack, to take things like to take soft luggage versus the hard luggage.
Yeah.
What to do with your gear? What do they have? Like, what's the food going to be like? I don't know. What other questions do we get? I'm trying to think.
Everybody that has ever inquired about a liveaboard has just been like so excited to want to book a liveaboard.
We don't have to do much.
Yeah. I would say a lot. Yeah. A lot of it is packing. I think packing is, and a lot of the logistics of the before and after.
Okay.
I think is honestly part of the most challenging part. I mean, because most people know, like, okay, I know I want to go dive for 7 days. I know it's going to like entail diving. Like, sometimes people are like, is there Wi-Fi on the boat? Or like, are there games? Like, am I going to get bored? Yeah, but it's always easy, like good and easy questions.
Okay. Okay. Well, here's a random question that just popped in my head. And I don't know why I would even consider this question, but is there laundry on liveaboards? Do they do laundry service, or is it kind of like your, is there? I don't know. Is that a dumb question? Sorry.
There's no dumb questions.
Yeah.
We can ask all of our questions.
Ask any silly question you want.
I haven't done laundry on one.
I don't think there is.
I don't think it's a service.
At least the ones that we've been on.
Okay. Yeah,
it's not a service that's normally offered, but I do remember on the Coco's one, somebody had an issue with some clothes and they did dry it for them. So was nice.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't think it's a service that's normally offered. And we have all levels, right, of luxury. So if you want to go in a very luxurious one, I'm sure you can find laundry.
Yeah.
Most of them are standard. Little bit more.
Good question.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's so funny too, because I'm like literally the last guy, because I'll just wear my bathing suit, the whole bathing trunks the whole time.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that question just popped in my head, you know, because I literally would be the last guy on the boat being like, yeah, can I do some laundry?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I just remember being like, at the end of the trip, I'm like, all my clothes smell. So like, that's, I remember that. So I know I wasn't doing laundry. So
awesome. Oh, that's super funny.
Great question.
Well, cool. So I really, really, really appreciate you two coming on to the podcast today. It's been great to get to know you. And my final question I'll throw out there, and then if you have anything, any final things that you would like to say, please let me know. But my final question would be, I guess, just why Dive the Americas? Why choose Dive the Americas? Why should I? I mean, you already sold me, so you don't have to sell me. I'm just saying all the other. You'll hear from me definitely, but why Dive the Americas?
It's something that like we're so passionate about, and we want to like relay that love and passion for diving to everybody that comes and dives with us. Like, it's just as important that you have a really good time as it is that you're learning how important it is to take care of the ocean. And I think people want to feel like they're doing something, especially nowadays, like that you're doing something good. You know, you're making good choices. And I think the way that we work makes it really easy to feel like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we're a smaller business. We really truly care about every person that travels with us. Like, it is the most important to us that you have the best experience. So for me, that personal touch, the like ability to have somebody to talk to while you're on your trip, if anything comes up, is huge, especially if you've never been somewhere, if you don't speak the language, like you said. And I love like surprising people with little things like, man, you have to try these tacos. Like, these are the best tacos in the world.
Yeah.
Or this little stand on the side of the road. Like,
trust us. Those, go to the stand.
Those kinds of things are so fun for us. And it just translates back to what you're saying. It's like, we just love this part of the world so much.
Yeah.
We think that it's not explored as much as it should be. And we're hoping to do it in a responsible way, you know, that is helping to protect the oceans.
Yeah. I mean, we're really like, a big goal is to give dive travel like a facelift, essentially. Like, and because we are like experts on Central and South America, like Latin America as a whole, you know, we want as many people as possible to come and experience this part of the world. And we want everybody to feel like they can ask whatever question they want. And, you know, it's like a safe space with us. And I think that's something that you don't get oftentimes working with like bigger corporate feeling agencies. And that's something that we never want to lose. You know, we have big dreams for Dive the Americas for sure. You know, we are launching group trips next year, which I think is a really, like, to, for us, that was a way for us to like be involved and like be on the trip with our clients. And we have some really big dreams for Dive the Americas, but we never want to like stray from the personal touch. And so I think that sets us apart.
Yeah. You're not going to get handed off. Like, if you start working with me, you're not going to get handed off to somebody that you don't know. Like, you're going to be working with me
whether you like it or not.
We're gonna be friends, Nick.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That sounds absolutely amazing, and I always root for and go for. You know, I refer to them as like the mom and pop shops, the smaller shops,
yeah.
Not the big corporate guy, because the big corporate entity, you're just a number, and you know, it could become quite irritating. So the fact that you can get a hold of who you were talking to from the beginning, kind of like you're saying, if you deal with me, you're dealing with me the whole time. That's awesome. No, it really is, because it's not like you pick up the phone and call somebody and it's like, you know, who's this person? I haven't spoke to you. And, you know, they're not as, because over time you're building that connection. And, you know, the more you talk to somebody on the phone, you're, you know, connecting with them more and more and more. And so you're, both parties are invested, because you want, especially like you're saying, you want to see these people have an amazing time. So no, this sounds.
You're ours, yeah. And you're ours for life. So like, then, you know, we know what you want, you know, we know what's important to you in a trip. Yeah. We know what's important to you in your dive experience. So you come to Costa Rica to dive and your next trip to Belize, like we already know what you like, and you know, we want you for life.
That is amazing. And actually, I always tell people on the podcast too, I'm like, oh, we're friends for life now. So expect to get a call from me like, hey, what's up? I'm in town. Let's go dive. You know, so.
Absolutely.
I love that. It's one part of the dive community, like having dive buddies and friends that you could dive with forever. Like, it's just so great.
Awesome. Awesome. So great. Well, any final words before we part ways?
No, I mean, thank you so much for having us. We do want to throw out there for anybody that wants to book a trip. If you use the code OFFGASSING, you'll get, what was it, $300? Yeah, off a custom trip with us. So I'm sure you'll put all this stuff in the notes, our website. And our Instagram, and like follow us and all the things. And we would be more than happy. You'll get Melanie or I. We'll be sure.
Friends for life. No, that is a amazing deal. And I might even hit you up on one of those off-gassing ones. No, because when we first started communicating, I actually was showing my girlfriend this, and we were both sold immediately. So I was like, man, we definitely have to try to book one of these trips. Because it checks boxes, you know, the live aboard, the Latin, South America, Central America, just the website in general just feels very welcoming. It's not, you know, you go to some websites and it's just, I don't want to say cold. I mean, cause that sounds random, but like, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, like, and I'm very, very big on websites these days. I'm like, man, if the website's not good, I'm probably not going to go with them. Not necessarily,
It's funny because it's just us talking on there. I'm like, all right, you want to hear a story?
Here you go.
That's our website.
That's so true.
That is absolutely amazing. Well, once again, I really, really appreciate you both coming on to the podcast, and I look forward to future interviews and actually meeting up at some point in 2024, because we will definitely have to plan a trip, and I'm very excited to see how it goes. So
We'd love to help you plan the trip. We'd love to come with you on the trip. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, keep an eye out for our group trips. Those are coming. We're super excited. Lots of good stuff on the horizon. And thank you again for having us on this amazing podcast.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Yeah.
Off-gassing, a scuba podcast.